rumbling in the ground, and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
It's going by the book. And welcome to the Watchmen for Jesus program this afternoon. On a Monday, the 26th of January, 2015, welcome. My name is Thomas Campbell. I'm the host of this show. And I hate using the word show sometimes. It's like, and over here we have the elephants and so forth. But it's a show, it's a program, it's an effort that I have to try to expose the reality of where you're living in this world today. It's when you learn this truth about this true conspiracy, it's like you live in another world. The reality is not what we're shown in the front. It's just not. People run from the truth, but it is, and then they have their meetings. They have their Tea Party meetings. They have their the Holiday Inn where mothers and educators get together and they do their speeches, you know, over a 15-minute presentation of why the children are not being taught this or being taught that. And they get done with the Tea Party meeting or get done with the lecture, they get done with the meeting, whatever. And nothing's ever done. Now, there have been efforts made when groups got together in front of Congress, when you had the wives and the daughters and so forth get together and they banged on it so hard, there has been changes in legislation, but after hard work. Well, the Illuminati will allow, when they have so much outpouring of spirit, so much outpouring of effort, they will allow certain changes, but immediately they start setting forth to find ways to either subvert it or redirect it. You got to know what you're up against. If you don't know what you're up against, you're not going to succeed. It's a common thread. It's a common knowledge. You got to know your enemy, for goodness sakes. But people run away from the truth, and it's just not, you're always going to fall back. And then they will come up with a counter attack or a dialectic of some kind, and then they'll undo what was done. And they will allow certain successes, but then they'll go set forth to infiltrate the success to make sure it fails. You got to know what you're up against, doggone it. And running away from the truth is not going to make it go away. You know, it never. It's never worked that way. And that's why there's failures. There have been successes. But you got to understand, anytime you take the hill and you drive the enemy from the hill, you think that's all? No. There's something called a counterattack every single time. And you have a counter to the counterattack. You are under attack from a lot of your own people that's in your own organization that's controlled by secret societies. It is an absolute fact. No conspiracy theory. It's a conspiracy fact by research that is irrefutable. And if you don't understand it, you'll never be able to get that success and keep the success until you cut them off at the knees. Now, that's my philosophy. Is once you get your attack, you don't let go. You continue until all opposition is completely extinguished or held in abeyance. Now, I'm a born-again Christian, but I believe in fighting back within the realms of the Bible, what the Bible tells us to do. And that doesn't mean weaponry and lock and load and all that silly nonsense, because that never works. It never has in our history, ever. It's never worked. If you go about it the right way, you will have successes. You will have successes that will stay for a period of time. But until you know your enemy, it's not going to happen. And your enemy are within the council meetings. Your enemy is within the National Education Association. All of them? No. But key figures are placed there by the secret societies to subvert your efforts in very subtle and sneaky, crafty ways. And once you ferret them out, you subjugate their input and diminish their impact. I hope you got that, because that works. And you know who to listen to and who not to listen to. And then you ferret them out. If it means embarrass them in a meeting, so what? That's what you do. Granted, they may never invite you over for a barbecue, but that's okay. It's better you succeed in protecting your children than it is to have a nice barbecue. I'm going to dedicate the broadcast, and then I want to set forth this week to barbecue the Illuminati, to expose their agenda in the education system and their attack on your children. You secure the future by education of the children. Now, that seems like a basic premise, does it not? Well, family, they have mastered that premise. It's about time you took control of it, or at least know where your enemy is coming from. And your enemy could very well be sitting beside you in these meetings. And once you identify them, do not be politically correct. Expose them for who they are. It has to be that way. But with knowledge, discernment, wisdom. But not just sit there on your hands. All that's going to happen is your hands going to get hot. That's all. And you might protect your fingernail polish, but you'll get nothing done. You must act, think, pray, and do the right thing for your children. Well, I hope to expose aspects of this week. I'm going to expose today part two of the Matrix, as we call it. I know it sounds sensational to say the Matrix, but there is one. I'm going to expose a lot of part of it today. I'll move into the education attack later. Tomorrow, part three, we'll continue on with the education. The drugs that they give your children, the Zoloft, that lie about ADHD. It's a big lie from these half-baked psychiatrists. You got a few of them that's good, but not too many. You heard me right. And I mean from Harvard, Yale, it don't make a lick of difference. They're the worst ones. The absolute worst. Because they have a nefarious agenda. It's evil beyond your imagination. It's a fact. I'm dedicated to broadcast, and I want to launch into today's program and rest this week. I want to also cover this week, toward the end of the week, the attack on the military in the same fashion that I want to expose the attack on your children through the education and drugs and school teachers, principals, and education associations, how they're sneaking around behind your back. And then I want to cover the attack on the military, and it'll go into next week too, I imagine. I'm going to cover that in extreme detail. Probably going to be the hardest one, because we as military personnel, military, were brainwashed in the boot camps. And I did the brainwashing of Marine recruits when I was a company commander, so I know how it works. Now I found out why. And you need to know what's really going on. In the same fashion that I'm going to talk about today in the education and tackling your children. Let's dedicate the program, and I want to move along as we hit the ground running every day this week. Lord, thank you today. Father, we come before you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Lord, we thank you for the sacrifice you've made for our sins. Lord, we thank you, Father, for the wisdom discernment that you give us. But Lord, convict us if we fall away. We lay before you our sins to cleanse us, Father, that you'll be able to work through us. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunities you give us, and Father, to follow your lead as we help you fulfill your will, Father, through us. Lord, to guide us, because we're sinners all, and Lord, we depend upon the trials, tribulations, the test you give us to make us stronger. Lord, we need that Holy Spirit to guide us in that path. Father, we do pray for our family members. We pray for those, Lord, that's been lifted up, Father, to be prayed for. That, Lord, we all pray for these family and friends that ask us to pray, Lord. We pray for Brandy, Lord, to protect her. And, Father, we pray for the families that ask us to do the praying for them, Lord. That you'll protect them. We pray for Andrea. Lord, she's going through a hard time. And Lord, we pray that you'll guide her with divine appointment, whatever it takes from your wisdom discernment, Lord, to put her on the right track. And Lord, today we pray for Carrie. Lord, we pray you'll protect her and the situation that's going on, Lord, that you'll provide the blood of Jesus around her and her family. And Lord, the others we pray for, that we prayed for in the past, that, Lord, you bring families together and for healing of those members that aren't faring too well medically. Lord, and use them in your service. But now, Lord, they ask for protection, guidance, direction, and divine appointments to lead them the right path and give them the right protection. Father, we pray for awakening of our leaders to pull away from this agenda and, Lord, to touch them with wisdom, discernment, and courage to step away from the blood oaths they've taken, to renounce the blood oaths, be free of Satan, and expose its agenda. Lord, if it be thy will, that be extended, that, Lord, that we'll be able to witness to others with divine appointments about the love of Jesus. Lord, we do prepare for that coming time of the great deception that is to come in the future, that this deception be exposed for the fallen angels and the evil that they are. And though we know they are among us, but Lord, we call upon you, the supernatural power you have to expose them and those humans that are following their path and making way for their agenda, to expose this agenda as you have in the past. Lord, we need a worldwide exposure of this evil, of this revival of the Roman Empire, to Father, put a stop to it, if that be thy will. But Father, we know that this world is pulling away, and we know that judgment's coming. But Father, in the meantime, Lord, we call upon you to give us those divine appointments that we can witness about Jesus Christ, that each one can be saved through their own free will by accepting Jesus as their Savior. These things we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Family, I'm undergoing a study that I'm asked a handful of people to help me with. Some I've met, some I've never met, but they send me articles and things. I gather my own, and I begin a study of a certain issue, an agenda I find out about, and so forth. And one that I'm undergoing, and I'll talk about it later this week, I hope, if I get it done. If what I've discovered is before the 1940s, before the 1950s, you had the silent generation. Then you have the baby boomer generation. Then you've got the X, Y, Z, millennium. I said, wait a minute, why do they keep naming these generations? What's the purpose of naming them? Well, I found out. Family, there's an organization in England, in Britain, UK, whatever, all the same cotton picking thing. Anyway, it's called Tavistock, T-A-V-I-S-T-O-C-K, created in 1921. This behavioral think tank, and don't think in small terms, think in terms of a big ocean here. This Tavistock behavioral think tank controls all of your educational institutions in America. Is that big enough for you? This Tavistock, created by the Rockefellers and so forth, the Illuminati, I'm not going to talk specifically right now about Tavistock. That in itself is a two-hour program. But Tavistock, behavioral think tank on steroids, if you will. Any organization, institution, educational institution, movement or whatever that's connected with Tavistock is dirty. Beyond measure. Now, at the highest level, they know what it's for. But low level, researchers, educators, scientists may not even know what they're involved in. And it's not uncommon for some of the engineers, workers, experts that were involved in this conspiracy to find out the truth about it, like Aaron Russo, and say, wait a minute, I'm involved in a nasty organization. I'm going to expose it. It is common for those to do that will die, literally. Cancer, car accident, motorcycle accident, because they're involved deeply within and their credibility is... They have strong credibility. Now, those of us that are conspiracy theorists, they can deal with, unless we get a great big following. And then they try to subjugate you in some way or another. And if you get a good following and you are on the right side, they'll find ways, slowly at first, to reduce your impact if they can't recruit you and then control you. This is how it really works today. So far, the real truth tellers are mostly all dead. Bill Cooper, Nancy Schaefer, Barry Jennings, Lenin, Martin Luther King, JFK, Larry McDonald. I just go and go with the names. They all have one thing in common. They're all dead. So the real truth tellers, I'm a CIA truth teller, I have a book, come on, not lying, blah, blah, not a truth teller. He's allowed to speak what he's told to let you know certain information that they want you to know, and then misdirect you on others. That's what they really are. If they're out there selling books or CDs, they're allowed by the CIA to do that, to tell you 80% truth to hook you and 20% to crook you. That's how it really works. Real truth tellers, they die in reality. The others, no. They're allowed to continue, like your Snow Job and Asaji and all those guys. They work the CIA and always have, NSA, under the pretense of being truthers and brave men. They're not at all. Not in remote sense of the word. If they get a Nobel Peace Prize or some other something like that, they are dirty as yesterday's last week's laundry. Because the Nobel Peace Prize, Rhodes Scholarship, all that is also dirty because they work for the Illuminati. Rhodes Scholars take a blood oath that's just as bad as the Jesuits. Nobel Peace Prize Nobel was Illuminati. So it gives them credibility when they get these ridiculous awards. So they can crook you. And that's it. That is a fact. Look up Nobel. Look up Cecil Rhodes. And tell me otherwise. That's how it really works. The real truth tellers are mostly dead, assassinated, discredited, thrown in jail for the most part. And sometimes they will still throw someone in jail that works for them and let them out later. It gives them credibility. Or they'll let them in Bohemian Grove to take some silly picture or movie camera of rituals. That's to give them credibility. That's how that works. So it works both ways. Russo was real. They can give you cancer and you can be dead in 30 days. Or 2 years. Very easily. Cancer is a lab-produced disease. So is HIV. Fort Detrick, Maryland, 1978-79. It's confirmed. It's laboratory-produced. And used as a weapon. These are all facts. So draw your connections with what I've just said. Now, I live in a small town. My expertise used to be military operations, anti-terrorist operations. I've been overseas, Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, Kosovo, Congo. Under State Department project, so I have been there. So I didn't fall off a turnip truck, as they say yesterday. I resigned that lifestyle. And now I expose it. Tavistock, and I'm not going to go into Tavistock in absolute detail, but I'll tell you this. When I read a research report of some kind, a study, someone makes a declaration on the news, whatever, and they belong to organizations that are underneath Tavistock, then I know I smell a rat. Whether they know it or not, it don't make any difference. I will tell you some of the rats. Under Tavistock and education, you have MIT. If that researcher is a member of MIT, anything, that, I don't care who it is, it don't make, especially your high-level researchers, I take what they give with a grain of salt because I know they're dirty. I mean, any one of them in MIT, professors or otherwise, all of them, Every single one of them. National Training Laboratories, MIT researchers and professors, and you can tell them I said so if you want to. I really don't care, because MIT is a working member of Tavistock. And if they don't know that, then they need to. It means they're sleeping. Institute for Policy Studies, IPS, which is a think tank based in Washington, D.C. It was directed by John Kavanaugh since 1998. IPS, actually 1963, it was formed. MIT, Brookings Institute, Hudson Institute, Wharton School of Economics and University of Pennsylvania, National Training Laboratories, NTL, Rand Corporation, named after that witch named Ayn Rand in the witchcraft. Oh, yeah. She wrote Atlas Shrugged, 1957, which is a textbook of the Illuminati. She's followed and adhered to and worshipped by Ron Paul and Paul Ryan. Ayn Rand was a mistress of Philip Rothschild. I say by their close contact, she has given dictation to write Atlas Shrugged. Atlas Shrugged is, although a fictional storyline, it is one of the Illuminati's textbooks on a fictional storyline to mask the nefarious purpose of it. Under Tavistock, you have Club of Rome, Rand Corporation, which is connected to CIA and MKUltra. MKUltra at the University of Rochester and way over 85 other universities, 85 plus universities within America. I can actually name some of them to give you an idea of the scope of this I'm talking about. Harvard, Yale, Princeton University, Columbia, Stanford, MIT, of course, Cornell, Hook'em Horns, University of Texas, yeah, University of California, University of St. Louis, Rockefeller University, Johns Hopkins, University of Chicago, University of Miami, City College of New York, and George Washington University, or but a few. And of those, nearly 300 educators, including 30 presidents of premier colleges and universities, are on the Council of Foreign Relations roll. Council of Foreign Relations is a Luciferian Illuminati in America, created by the Rockefellers in 1921. Oh, at the same time, they created Tavistock. The Rothschilds, isn't that something? Oh, at the same time, the Rothschilds created the Royal Institute of International Affairs in London, which is the sister to the Council of Foreign Relations. And Tavistock is part of it. And so is the Council of National Policy. The CNP, Council of National Policy, look it up, is a standing member of the Council of Foreign Relations. You know, the ones that starts wars to kill your children. Responsible for all the deaths of World War II and Korea. Oh, I got this from an article December the 9th, 1950, when they were accused, the CFR, of being responsible for all the blood shed in World War II and Korea War. Is that big enough for you? It's documented. It's a fact. Working with the European Illuminati to create these wars are connected to these same groups. Same names. That's my point. The same names created the organizations. They keep popping up. Same bankers. Same Illuminati, actually, which are family bloodline. Family bloodline. Same DNA, trading off husbands and wives like Hetfield McCoys. You got it? Now, other organizations under MKUltra are the ones behind the suicides of all our troops with the psychotropic drugs, voice-to-skull technology, and corruption of your education, and testing using your children as doggone lab rats. The sororities, fraternities, well, did y'all have any idea that your children that's in these sororities, these fraternities, take a blood oath like Freemasons do? Oh, they do. And they use them as lab rats. Don't even know it. There's a charge and pledge of allegiance by candidates for membership in the Delta Sigma Theta Sorority, Incorporated, and the official ritual of Grand Chapter of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority, Incorporated, is confidential to the membership of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority. What a name, Incorporated. Same goes for Skull and Bones and every other fraternity and sorority. It states that the Delta Sigma Theta Sorority, Incorporated, is founded on Christian principles. Well, they say the same thing about the Eastern Stars, who are wives of the Freemasons. They take a blood oath against God. And a lot of them are fooled. Their insignia is the star, the Baphomet of Satan. A lot of them don't even know it. Well, an excerpt of this says, I, Mary Jo, do solemnly promise in the presence of the eternal spirit of truth and these finite witnesses that I will uphold my sacred vow and pledge to Delta Sigma Theta, ever mindful that membership in the Delta Sigma Theta is a lifetime commitment. That's an excerpt from it. And to prove to you that they're using your children as lab rats, I know that there's a plan back in, is it laid out in the 1970s, that Ruth Bader Ginsburg was sent a report to the U.S. Commission of Civil Rights in previous court opinions that the federal government should, quote, eliminate the traditional family concept of a husband as a breadwinner and wife as homemaker, integrate all male, all female organizations such as Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, fraternities, and sororities. And the purpose of that one was to eliminate a traditional male roles. I've got a lot more on that one. Now, the way they can do that is through education. And that's where they control all the colleges and universities. Association for Human Psychology, 1957. Harvard Psychiatric Clinic under Tavistock. Social Psychiatry under Tavistock. Princeton Institute for Advanced Studies and Institute for Social Research under Tavistock. The Heritage Foundation, all that helps control education. Now, in their plans, by the Illuminati, they hear in a minute. Oh, yeah. Number 21 of their plans, quote, to take control of education in America with the intent and purpose of utterly and completely destroying it By 1993, that was during the period of Billy Bob Clinton and his wife Hillary, by 1993, the full force effect of this policy is becoming apparent and will be even more destructive as primary and secondary schools begin to teach outcome-based education. OBE. This was on their plans. On whose plans? Bilderberg, Trilateral Commission, CFR. The round table groups. Discuss that. Of what they're going to do to you and your children. That's part of their agenda items. And to encourage and eventually legalize the use of drugs and make pornography an art form, which will be widely accepted and eventually become quite commonplace, unquote. These are agenda items. You understand this? And that directly affects the education of your children. Matter of fact, subsequent techniques of the Illuminati included number 11 I've got here, failing education system. Education, quote, is the key approach for altering children's belief of what is right and wrong through mind control programs, rewriting history, introducing alternative and debased sexual teachings, and false ideologies. Continuing, quote, this conditions them to accept whatever the powers lay before them, and they are dumbed down so that they won't learn the truth and rebel, unquote. Did you get the part about unquote? I didn't make that up. Now, you hear about cutting down on police. They drive up to checkpoints, and police say, oh, roll your window down, we're checking DUI. Am I under arrest? Am I under arrest? And they come up with this silly thing they got on YouTube. All that's planned out. And there's always at least one cop that's part of it, and he's a Freemason. And they put it on YouTube, and you see how you can disrespect the police. And they put police officers there that are former felons who's had their prison records expunged. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And they show how to remiss the authority of the police. Well, they're doing that for the schools now by design. You've got teachers, female teachers, out the yin-yang, man, every day almost, it seems, that are having affairs with their 17, 16-year-old, 18-year-old students. And they're going to jail for it. What in the world is going on today? They put something in the water at the schools or what? They're being taught this, family. Oh, I'm going to lay it out here in a minute. I'm building a case. Oh, I'm only getting warmed up. Well, under the conditions, the techniques of the Illuminati, number 10 says, and I quote, remiss authority figures. Many parents and adults fear today's youth. Kids scream, yell, mock, and often physically abuse their parents or other elders. They're rude and disrespectful. Much of this is attributed to the, quote, it takes a village to raise a child, quote, unquote, mentality, where children are supposed to be cuddled, free-thinking, and do whatever they want. Parents and authority have become remiss in correcting foul children. The elite encourage children to resist authority on one hand while warning them to mindlessly obey on the other, unquote. Now, this is where it got into spare the rod, spoil the child. I don't mean beat the child, but there's certain authority that a parent, the male, must execute on the child in some way to show that they've been doing wrong in accordance with biblical principles. That's the way it's supposed to work. But now when you spank your child at 1 or 2 years old, you walk outside and there's a cop waiting for you, and you're going to jail. You wait till the next year, rise of child come up, and your child can elect to kill themselves, suicide themselves, and you can't stop it. That is on the table in Oregon and Texas. It's already done in Belgium and being orchestrated in the UK. So don't tell me it's not, because it is. Y'all sleeping if you don't know it. Oregon has tremendous numbers of witchcraft covens that are going through the rituals to get this thing passed. I make a lot of enemies when I tell them about this, because this is the fact. These are facts I'm telling you. This is how they do it. You focus your prayers on Oregon. You find out legislatively how far along are they on this child euthanasia relative to the healthcare bill. And the International Rights of the Child, you stomp it out, just like they did in 1989. Hillary tried to get it passed so the UN could control your children. But they failed to accomplish that. She's not done. Now, education, if they can train the children of the baby boomers to little by little get away from biblical morality, follow the Humanist Manifesto, which will be the parents of the next generation, and that's how they do it, X, Y, Z, millennial, till they get to the millennials, and their plan to institute the New World Order with the millennials is the year 2025. They have a deadline. Oh, it's quantified. It's why they're in such a heat to get things done, to get those video games out, get those drugs on the table, come through with Common Core education, No Child Left Behind, Global 2000, everything they can, hammer away, and to reduce, listen, to reduce the life expectancy of the baby boomers so they'll be dead by the year 2020 or 2025, are no longer influential, and their children, who are the parents of the millennials. And the millennials will finally be parents, and you'll have a great falling away to bring on the new world order and be accepted. I look at the forest, not the trees. The trees you cut down, if need be, when they get old and rotten. But I like to look at the canopy, the whole picture of what's really going on, and see the sunlight come up, see the sun rise, because you can't when you're stuck down in the forest. You got to climb above and look down to see that sun rise. Now, don't go worshiping some sun, okay? But you understand what I'm talking about. It must be done. And to keep you all confused, they have a number 15. It's called chaos. It's a maneuver to keep you bewildered, putting events, activities in a framework of utter turmoil where no one knows what to do. Sound familiar lately? Who to believe, whom to rely on, the powers can emerge as the saviors by offering solutions to the chaos they have secretly put forth. Conflicting issues by what's called the Hegelian dialectic keeps us as the masses, quote, on edge, doubting, confused, as well as sidetracked from the real issues they want to forward, unquote. Now, that's what's really going on. Now, there's a lot more that I'm talking about here, but I want to focus, do the best. I get on a little side trail sometimes. Get focused on the education part this week. And that's what I'm focusing on right now. And remember last week I covered the feminism, racism. All that is talked about in these agenda items. They have created contrived crisis. They produce global warming, energy crisis, floods, hurricanes. They control the weather through HAARP technology. I know that sounds crazy, but it's the truth. So now, Education is thus a most powerful ally of humanism. I have this documented. Now you say, well, what can we do about it? Well, I'll get to that this week. I'll tell you things you can do. And I will give you some alternatives. But you have to band together. But as long as they got Ferguson going on and Soros is paying them $30 million to riot and march, because everybody's so apathetic they can't even get the rioters out except they pay them, this is how they're doing it. Ferguson is a false flag. Bundy Ranch, a false flag. All of it is to keep you, just like I told you, in chaos. But now if you cut this racist nonsense out and come together and protect your children and make them the common enemy, now you're getting somewhere. But they got you all divided and separated. They got you white on white, white bread folks out there. You got the militia, former vets, going against Bundy, going against the feds. And I bet on either side, y'all probably fought in Iraq and Afghanistan together. Same thing in Ferguson. Oh, they hire people to go out there and riot. Then they hire white folk out there to riot and to make them clash together while we read about it and stay confused and you forget about the education of your kids and the ADHD drugs they're putting in them and the lying teachers and principals out there that are subjugating them of the humanist mindset. That's what's going on. I've just given it to you here in the past 45 minutes. There was a study done, of course, at Stanford, another Illuminati college. And the study, quite interesting, it's kind of boring reading until you get into it, but it's called The Changing Images of Man, prepared by the Center for Study of Social Policy, there's Tavistock, and SRI International. O.W. Markley and Willis Harmon. That's one of their little Bibles. And it actually says, at the bottom left-hand corner, System Science and World Order Library, Explorations of World Order, unquote. Can you imagine? What's the purpose of it? Well, I found this quite interesting, one little part of it, that I'll focus on. And I give you some excerpts out of it, just kind of give you an idea of how they're controlling the education. Changing images of man. And the date of it, well, 1982, right before, of course, 1984. Getting ready for that millennial, huh? Now, says I quote, many of our institutions seem to have inadvertently reached a critical size beyond which they are virtually uncontrollable in any coherent fashion. The fact of life was aptly described by Richard Bellman and except in the first Norbert Wiener Weiner Prize for Applied Mathematics, 1970. Quote, I think it's beginning to be realized that our systems are falling apart. We don't know how to administer them. We don't know how to control them. And isn't it all obvious that we can control a large system in such a way that it remains stable? It may very well be that there is a critical mass. When a system gets too large, it just automatically unstable. Continuing quote, we see these problems in our education systems, in our legal systems, in our bureaucratic systems, in our transportation systems, in our garbage collection systems, and so on. The inability to sustain stable subsystems, let alone the macro system, suggests that a strong thrust toward decentralization would be plausible, concomitant to the transformationist image of humankind. Relatively autonomous subsystems would enhance diversity in our society. Now, it goes on talking about honesty and trust, and they can tend to leave out the fact that Freemasons are under a blood oath to lie, even to themselves. But it talks about the family. Quote, another societal consequence might be the growth of the family from an atomistic unit of refuge to an extended unit, a larger source of meaning and significance. Now, experiments with a variety of family structures would be a legitimate endeavor in society that encourages individual interpersonal exploration of human growth processes. Now, this thing goes on to tell how to manipulate a family structure and basically just pull the kids away. And but what I found then, when it continued further on, was this little jewel. Quote, Du Bois, 1968. The environment men create through their wants become a mirror that reflects their civilization. More importantly, it also constitutes a book in which is written the formula of life that they communicate to others and transmit to succeeding generations. Now, here's as Du Bois, 1968, page 171. Now, here we go. Therefore, human beings can become adapted to almost anything. And since our physical and psychological endowments give us a wide range of adapted potentialities. Now, some of y'all are going to recognize this right quick. It is crucial to distinguish between these images that they foster a short-term tolerable living environment and those that foster a long-term desirable living environment. The dynamic character of adaptability, you see, in other words, quote, stop. In other words, to get you to adapt to the new world order, to get you to adapt to a humanist attitude, get you adapt to child euthanasia, to get you to adapt to putting drugs in your kids that have ADHD. Can I bring it home any closer? Okay, you got it now? The dynamic character of adaptability is illustrated by a laboratory demonstration in which a frog was placed in a beaker of boiling water and immediately jumped out when the frog was placed in a beaker of cold water that was slowly warmed to boiling temperatures. However, the temperature change was gradual, and the frog adapted in increments, making no attempt to escape until he finally died. Analogously, the mere fact that a society can generate an image of the human and for a time adapt to it does not necessarily ensure that it will be a desirable thing to do. We can make errors and inadvertently accept images that may prove lethal both to our existence as being seeking to unfold our potential and to our physical existence as an evolving species. And given our capacity to adapt even to the point of virtual self-destruction, break the suicide of our troops at 26 per day, child euthanasia that's being orchestrated, drugs put in your children, ADHD, that they commit suicide. Do you think that might have a little bit of impact in self-destruction there, family? I think it does. And they're behind it in the most amazing, nefarious, evil ways through these colleges, universities, and Tavistock, using your children as lab rats. I like to boil it down like that darn frog and let you know, hey, the heat's up. Get out of there now. Y'all got it now? See, it's difficult to know, quote, whether or not we may have already gone too far with our industrial images. Given the apparent momentum of the industrial dynamic, it's difficult to know whether we could turn back, even if it seems we've gone too far, unquote. Now, I'm going to stop there. It just goes and goes and goes. There is a more detailed explanation of that boiling frog example, analogy you've heard many times, I'm sure. But they talk about successes and problems that result from being too successful. Let me give you an example. If they reduce the infant and adult mortality rates, which is what they don't want to do, they want to increase it, they say result of being too successful would result in, quote, regional overpopulation and problems of the aged. See how they think? So that means it's reduce the population by abortion, HPV vaccinations to sterilize your children. Listen, allow euthanasia so the old people can just kill themselves and just go away. Or for children that not paying attention or they may not be up to par, just have them euthanize themselves. With the International Rights of the Child, we'll get it passed. We'll have psychiatrists, which is what's going on. Give the children the drugs. We'll make the education so boring that the kids who are smart will get bored, act crazy, and we'll call it ADHD and give them drugs so they just die. And we'll take them away from the parents and re-educate them. Family, I'm not making this up. This is what's going on today. Child Protective Service was going to be exposed by Nancy Schaefer. Nancy Schaefer was murdered by her husband, shot in the back, and he killed himself the same time. After, of course. They can't decide whether he shot himself in the chest or the head. Family, they were suicided. They were killed. They were murdered by the government, like Chris Kyle was, like Pat Tillman was, like Bill Cooper was. You got it now? I'm going to bring it home to you so you'll understand what you're up against. And when you know what you're up against, you can formulate ways to defeat them, delay them, or put the Savior on them. 2 Chronicles 7:14. It is a supernatural war that we're in. Of that there's no doubt. Humankind is not this smart. Devious? Yes. Smart? No. Not for continual and continuity of this agenda. No way. Successes of a highly developed science and technology. Well, hazard of mass destruction through nuclear biological weaponry, vulnerability to specializations, and they go all through it. If you have complete satisfaction of basic needs, being too successful will result in, quote, worldwide revolutions of rising expectation, rebellion against non-meaningful work. That's why they created, that is the reason the Jesuits, Illuminati, created the working unions, to control that rebellion, to slow it down, and they control it. This is how they think. And I'm going to stop there because I'm digressing from education. But I want you to see how they think. And I got the study right there. It's not made up. Now, education. We've got about an hour. And I'm going to be doing this between now and Wednesday. So this is part two. That started part one on Friday to lay the groundwork of this matrix. There was a report of a New World Order insider that revealed. See, they have to reveal what they're going to do before they do it. But they do it in such a way you won't catch on. Another thing, they'll reveal it when they have total control. Now, that's where they get these truth tellers. And sometimes, God will put on somebody's heart to sneak out a report. That's how God does things. He changes the frequency of vibration. He makes them lose. He makes them delay. They can't let down for a second. God's always on them, man. God is always on them. Cause them delay in action because you pray. Because you care. They want to get rid of that caring so they'll have carte blanche. You see how it works? There's a war out there, family. And you're a part of it. And you can delay it. To witness to others. But family, when they start cutting down, making same-sex marriage, that's the reason for this. To pull away from God. Child euthanasia. All this. Well, they got to change the education. They got to put the video games out there. They got to put the drugs out there. Now, I'm getting ready to funnel down to education specifically. Right now, I'm just laying the groundwork. Some of their agenda items was, and I quote, encouraging homosexuality, sex, and anything goes. Now, everything I'm saying today is going to tack on to everything tomorrow and next day. Families to diminish in importance. Break up the families. Blend all religions. All religions will have to go. Change the Bible through many revisions or key words. That's why I want to get you away from the King James Bible. Restricting or restructuring education as a tool of indoctrination. More time in schools, but they wouldn't learn anything. Controlling who has access to information. Schools as a hub of the community. Some books would just disappear from the libraries. Changing the laws. Encouraging drug abuse to create a jungle atmosphere. Encouraging alcohol abuse. That's pretty easy to figure out. Restrictions, you got country music. You got rock and roll. You got Black Sabbath. You got all, well, some of y'all say, what? You got the metal. You got a forever age group. Encourage drug, alcohol, sex. That's what it's for. That's the purpose of it. Restrictions on travel, the need for more jails, using hospitals as jails. Now, they're eventually going to eliminate all jails. That's another story down the road. To create a new structure, you first have to tear down the old. Patriotism, send down the drain. Loss of jobs, lost security. Sports for girls to de-emphasize femininity. That's part of their agenda item. That's why you have women doing boys' sports and boys doing the girls' sports. It's on purpose. Give us the young. Food control, weather control, politics. Falsify scientific research. That's where all these studies come from, and Mademoiselle and all these study was done to figure out that those who, you know, all that's a bunch of nonsense by design. War is good. You get to be a cannon fodder, keep the population down, and die a hero. Acceptance of the UN. End justifies the means. Terrorism, orchestrated by the intelligence agencies, a great tool for control. Your big brother's watching you to cause fear. Privately owned homes, a thing of the past. Euthanasia and the demise pill is one of their agenda items, family. Come on now. Planning the control over medicine, elimination of private doctors. All this they talk about at those meetings, at those councils and committees. Education as a tool for accelerating the onset of puberty and evolution. redirecting the purpose behind sex. Sex without generation and propagation without sex. Family, this is all quantified, determined by agenda items, and instituted by movements and so forth. Now, under their control, under Illuminati's control, specifically focusing on education now, you have totally controlled by the Illuminati, and I have it here in front of me, an organizational chart that I've double, triple, quadruple checked, are the following. UNESCO is under their control. They use UNESCO, like old Charlton Heston, who's a Freemason, used NRA to slow down the process of having weapons in homes. Charlton Heston, John Wayne, all these guys are not on your side. They were Freemasons. God, I hate saying that. I really do. But it's true. I was fooled like everybody else was. I hate to tell you these, family, because it makes me sound like I'm crazy. It really does. But I have the evidence. Slam dunk. You want it? I can give it to you. I can tell you where to go, where to find it. My guess is, because I'm just a plain old guy here, you see, you can find it just like I can, if you really want to. UNESCO is the United Nations Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization. 195 member states to come after your kids to control the education, natural sciences, social human sciences, culture, communication and information processes. It's also a member of the United Nations Development Group. Family, they're coming after your kids. If they keep you in fear, it's like that boiling frog. As a matter of fact, the boiling frog syndrome I just read you a little while ago, you tell me, when I give you this, whether or not you're under that, in that beaker of water. 1944. The takedown of America began in 1945 to 48. In 1944, which has everything in the world to do with now, Norman Mattoon Thomas, who is a leading American socialist, pacifist, and six-time presidential candidate for the Socialist Party of America, the number one party in America, it ain't Democrat, Republican, not remotely. That's to keep you all placated. Well, Norman Mattoon Thomas said in a 1944 speech, I quote, "The American people will never knowingly adopt socialism, but under the name of liberalism, they will adopt every fragment of the socialist program until one day America will be a socialist nation without knowing how it happened." Unquote. He went on to say, however, quote, "I no longer need to run as a presidential candidate for a socialist party. The Democrat Party has adopted our platform." Unquote. And has. Now, the Republican Party, as I've said many times when I bring this up, don't be puffing your chest out, bunch of murderers. And I'll tell you why I said it just like that. Because the Council of Foreign Relations, the Council of National Policy, and the Republican Party plans the world wars and the little conflicts that requires the military-industrial complex to go out and murder and kill under the direction or the falsificated idea of fighting for democracy. They're a bunch of liars. They work with the Council of Foreign Relations and the Jesuits to set up the wars. So the Democrat Party works on creating a socialist nation. The Republican Party, at the highest level, Council of Foreign Relations, plan the wars. And together, they head toward the New World Order. Step by step, article by article, event by event, until they finally achieve it on the long term. God keeps them always on the move. He keeps them always down. Somebody does something that messes their plans up. Always has, for the time being. But when we turn away from being a righteous country of any kind, then you better look out for the hammer, because it's going to fall. That's why they're trying to get all these laws changed, same-sex marriage, etc., drugs passed, international rights of the child, euthanasia, all this, to pull you away from biblical morality and put you toward the humanist mindset. Now, I'm getting ready to funnel it on down. I said many times, the key to this whole thing, literally, is this. 2 Chronicles 7:14, I've said dozens of times, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from the wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. So what they've done is reverse that. If we could convince God's people, which are called by His name, and give them pride, make them arrogant, and not pray anymore, and turn away from their God, and seek their wicked ways, and enjoy them, and become more wicked every day, then they won't hear from heaven, their sin will not be forgiven, and we'll have our new world order. And this is what they set forth to do. Satan is God of this world for right now, but he's not king. And he's only goes so far that God will allow him. When he goes too far, God said, God says, no, you can't go that far, and I'm going to mess it up. And he does every time. I give you the times in history. He stopped the New World Order 6 times since 1933. I can tell you exactly what days he did. Because you know that if they had that power, they'd had it already. Back to education. So UNESCO, all of your world peace groups are all under the education group of the Illuminati. I'm giving you the organizational chart here. World peace groups, all of them. Planetary Congress. World Federalist Associations. The World Constitution and Parliamentary Associations. All of the environmental groups, either funded through Rockefeller or Soros or any of these other Illuminati Satanists, they fund these groups and activists. Greenpeace. Well, that's a no-brainer. Greenpeace was funded by the Rockefellers, was funded by these environmental groups to control you. You've got the Lucius Trust, Lucifer Trust, Alice Bailey. It's now called Lucius Trust. It was before called Lucifer Trust. It's kind of obvious, so they changed the name. Yeah, no kidding. World Unions, World Goodwill, Esalen, E-S-A-L-E-N, Esalen Institute, the media establishment on all the medias, and the American Society for Microbiology. These are all part, and this is not limited. Those are the minimal parts of this educational Illuminati organization. Now, the Esalen Institute is more than a retreat center or an educational institute. It's anchored by the inspiring beauty of Big Sur and the unparalleled intellectual history there in California. You like that, California? It sounds like the hillbillies, don't it? It's got a retreat center, this Escalin Institute. And what it does, it focuses on humanistic alternative education. It's a nonprofit organization devoted to activities like personal growth, meditation, yoga, gestalt, psychology, ecology, spirituality, organic food, and all that stuff. Well, family, that's all about the New Age humanistic agenda. And the grounds were once home to a Native American tribe known as the Esselen, E-S-S-E-L-E-N. It's about the occult. The origins, Michael Murphy, Dick Pierre Price, part of the organizers, attended Stanford University in the late 40s and early 1950s. Well, what about that? There's Stanford again. Wouldn't you know it? You see how it works, family? You always find a connection. And you find them in Gestalt, Freud, all this nonsense that they come out with is all connected. You know who some of the leaders were of Escalin? Oh, you're going to love this. Timothy Leary, Carl Rogers, B.F. Skinner. You ever heard of those guys? Oh, yeah. I got a whole list of instructors and teachers here. It's just massive. Even Deepak Chopra. You know that boy, don't you? Oh, he's trouble. I wouldn't buy his books if I had to use them for toilet paper or starting a fire. Those books are worthless. Aldous Huxley. These were all instructors there. I got like over 100. It was sometimes just makes me tired just looking at them. Family, protect your children. Now I'm going to, you know some of the performers that were there? Joan Baez, Blood, Sweat, and Tears, All 60s, 70s, Judy Collins, Creedence Clearwater Revival, Bob Dylan, Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young, worked with Illuminati, confirmed by John Todd, Donovan, it just goes, George Harrison, Paul Horn. Music, Bruce Springsteen, Simon Garfunkel, is all during the time of the mindset change and the drug days. All getting ready for the New Age movement. Even have a schizophrenic research project there. Soviet exchange program, naturally. Now they got Jesus camps to mind control your children. And you know what? Those of you in the know, Escalin Institute is organized as a California 501c3 nonprofit organization. See, the 501c3 program is how they control your churches and their members. Tell them which Bible to use, what theology to teach. The preacher won't tell you that. But that's a fact. When they're a 501c3 church. Now, I've not even talked about the religious groups yet, sticking with education. You see, family, I do like a tree. And I'll start drawing NISCO, and I'll find names, and I'll start connecting things like a spider web. I got this big old thing I do. And that's how I do my research, like I was a crime investigator. And when I start doing that and find all these connections, good gosh almighty. I said, boy, we're in a whole heap of trouble. Now, let's start funneling it down. For those that may be new, what are the doctrines of humanism? Very quickly, I'll give you a summary. What's being taught to your children through the education? Deny the existence of God. deny the existence of a soul, deny the existence of absolute moral laws, deny the existence of any inalienable rights, including the rights guaranteed by the U.S. Constitution. First, they set it up. And when they set it up to placate you, then they set forth to treat you like a frog in cold to boiling water. You see how it works? And they plan generations ahead. That's the summary of everything they're doing today. They got to give you the right way to do it, and then they say, okay, now we got them placated. They're in cold water. Now let's turn up the heat little by little, and we'll get them to where they accept it. It may take 100 years. It may take 30. It may take 50. It may take 10. Depends on the situation. Family, this is what you're dealing with today on this earth. Deny the sanctity of individual human life. Now start clicking together the dots. Euthanasia, abortion, drugs, video games. All this is designed for these common doctrines and goals. And where do you get it from? Where you start it? At schools. They claim, quote, they can only be successful in creating their utopia by establishing a world government or new world order, unquote. And lastly, and certainly this is a grossly summarized version, quote, believe the traditional family must be destroyed, must be eliminated in order to obtain world peace. Now these, based on the Humanist Manifesto 1 and 2, and now they have 3, and the writings of Karl Marx and Vladimir Lenin, who got their writings from Clinton Roosevelt, 1841, ancestor to FDR 100 years later, who got his writings from Adam Weishaupt of the Protocols and learned under Zion, this world revolutionary plan. It goes all the way back to then. Now, that being said, they do control public education. And you know the fact that public education, American media, have been taken over by a group of people who want you to abandon your traditional worldview, accept secular humanism or Marxism, Leninism is easily documented. Now, to show you about secular humanism, Marxism, Satanism, coming into the schools is also part of the parents on the other end to meet in the middle. Now, my regular listeners, I need you to bear with me here now. That sometimes you're going to hear, if you're a regular listener, you're going to hear bits and pieces and parts of other programs. But sometimes I've got to do that to bring together the whole picture. And I don't know who's listening and who don't. So sometimes I've... You'll hear some additional for example, there's a satanic religious group had an interest in erecting a monument. A Satanist in Florida wants the opportunity to open a town hall meeting with prayer. Town of Greece versus Galloway. Chaz Stevens, who says he wants to equal billing or to express himself, his religious views, which is Satanism, he said, quote, we allow various religious nut jobs to give a prayer, he told New York Times. They pray to Jesus, who is a make-believe God, who is make-believe. Why not Satan, who is make-believe? Why? This is nuts. Why discriminate against one make-believe God over another? Now, that's the second one in Florida. See, that's where they're going to focus. They focus... on one state or another. And once they get a state to pass, then they'll make it mandatory and it hits a couple other states at the same time with their groups. That's how it works. And it's working. And the water is boiling. So there was a meeting. I'm not going to play it right now. I don't need to really. But there was a meeting in another Florida state where the vice mayor gave a prayer to Satan before the commission meeting started. You can hear it. Actually hear it on the YouTube. But I'm not going to play it right now unless someone really sends me an email and wants to hear it, but you all can find it. And five people, including the mayor, walked out while he gave the prayer to Satan, Lucifer, Allah, Krishna, included, Thor, actually. And when he was done with it, they started to give the allegiance to the flag. They all came back in. So it separated and divided that commission meeting. Unbelievable. And he praises secular humanism in this prayer. Now they got another one wanting to do it. Now let me give an example. A real world example. Homeschooling is against their agenda. Because you got the wife doing the schooling, the husband's out working, the wife's doing the schooling, or the father is on occasion, maybe. I don't know how it works entirely. But mostly the mother's doing it. She's authorized. If you're a Christian school, Christian teaching, it goes against the humanist mindset. And they can't allow that to happen on a big picture. So try to make it difficult. Since they couldn't outlaw, Bush couldn't outlaw homeschooling, they came up with No Child Left Behind to put pressure on the teachers to get numbers instead of educating them. Stop using textbooks, all that. And then they came out with Common Core. Now, I'm going to play you a testimony. And the testimony, it's take it with a grain of salt. It's about 15 minutes long, but it goes and goes. But you got some good points made. Now, if the moms here talking knows about this agenda, they'll know what they're up against. We'll take a different tack. But let me give you an idea of what I'm talking about. Here we go.
I love learning, and I love the idea of raising our standards. And I do believe that when asked to do so, people will rise to the occasion. I want to make it very clear tonight that my concern is not with teachers or any form of resistance to change. I first learned about the Common Core last spring at the end of your SEPs when I was handed a pamphlet about Utah adopting Common Core. I read through it after leaving and immediately became concerned. I thought, how is this going to work? How can we take an entire nation with all different demographics and place them in a narrow window without hurting the top and the bottom? In my mind, by becoming common, we're eliminating one's ability to soar. I started asking questions, and then even more questions, which led me to discover that this is a concerted effort to march our nation down a path to nationalize education, and I am very concerned. 2009 was a year of change. We got a new president, a new state superintendent, and a new governor. Oh, and there was a race called Race to the Top. President Obama and Arne Duncan, the U.S. Secretary of Education, created a contest in which states could win a share of the $4.35 billion federal money allotted from the Recovery Act of 2009, or the stimulus package, as many of us know. In July of 2009, the Race to the Top was officially announced. Sometimes in a race, we are so focused on the prize that we may not pay attention to the details. The states get points for the different things they do. We were asked to raise our standards, which I believe is wonderful. We were also asked to join a consortium of states and we receive points for doing so, and the more states, the better. That summer in 2009, the White House announced the second race, which was a race to create assessments for a share of the $330 million prize. Because in the application for the first race, Utah had already agreed to join this consortium, maybe we didn't pay attention to the rules for the second race. In December of 2009, Utah joined the Smarter Balanced Assessment Consortium, and by so doing, Utah agreed to a few things that I'd like to share with you. First, in order to enter, the State Department of Education in Utah had to have the appropriate signatures, which included our governor and state superintendent. Utah had to agree to adopt the Common Core standards no later than December 31, 2011, and to fully implement the assessment system no later than the 2014 to 2015 school year. Our state also agreed to follow all timelines, and we also had to agree with the consortium of states. We had to identify any barriers in state law and fix them, and our state agreed to adhere to all these requirements. Are there benefits in working with other states? Doesn't it sound great to have students the same so that when we move from state to state, we're all on the same page? Sure it does. But now Utah has to fight with all the other states in this consortium if we want to make a change, as stated in the bylaws of the SBAC. To me, this signals a loss of control. Do the administrators in Chicago know what is best for your children? Because I know they certainly don't know what is in the best interest of my children. Nor do they know all the great things that you've already been doing for the students here in Wasatch County. That's what's great about local control. I can take the concerns of my children and meet face-to-face with local administrators and teachers, and then you can have the power to make changes and advocate in behalf of my concerns. The federal government would like us to think that the states came up with this plan. They're claiming that this was a state-led initiative, and we can get out any time we want. But Utah is bound to this initiative in more ways than one. Yes, I know that Arne Duncan wrote a letter to our state superintendent, Larry Shumway, stating that Utah could get out of the standards whenever we want. But you tell me how. Aside from the contract we just entered into the SBAC, we also received a waiver to get out of No Child Left Behind as an incentive to commit to these standards. Regardless of how many people would agree that No Child Left Behind was a program that was set up for the public school system to fail, it was nonetheless a law. Our Constitution clearly states that only Congress can change laws, and the executive branch can enforce them. President Obama said, "Congress hasn't been able to do it, so I will." So given that Congress cannot act, I am acting. I believe that our founding fathers were inspired enough to know that we needed a system of checks and balances in order to make sure things like this wouldn't happen. If Utah decides to get out of the Common Core initiative, does that mean we have to pick No Child Left Behind back up? Also, states were threatened by the federal government that we will not receive our Title I money unless we adopt the Common Core. Will they make us repay our $14.4 billion share of the federally funded program? If Common Core really is so great, why would states need so many incentives to join and punishments if they don't join? This sounds like federal control to me. In the SBAC governing document, it also says in order to exit, we need to provide written notice with a statutory or policy reason for our exit. Further, the consortium of states must approve the request for us to leave. And remember, all the states have to agree. And to top that off, this non-federal consortium of states that we joined must get final approval for our exit from the United States Department of Education. How is that a state-run program? The 10th Amendment of our Constitution clearly states that education is the responsibility of the state and local government. This is clearly a federal program, and all the mandates have made it difficult to get out already. How far do we travel down this path before we are so indebted to the program that it will be virtually impossible to get out? Utah must get out now. I cannot sit back and let us blindly be led down this path, because the truth is, most parents I speak with don't even know what Common Core is. At the most, they know what they were told at SEPs or back to school night, that everyone is so excited that Utah decided to raise its standards, and what a great tool this will be. Do I believe this? Yes. But for me, all the things I see coming down attached to the standards raised huge red flags and far outweighed any benefit. That's the plan. It has to look good. How else would the people pulling the strings get so many people and states to sign on to this? That is how they operate. We won't even see the effects of this for many years down the road. They're smarter than that. Will they slowly wrap a string around our neck, one mandate at a time, until there are so many cords it becomes nearly impossible to escape? Will this become the next unfunded mandate from the federal government? Why are we concerned? We believe that educational decisions for individual students are best made by a local level by parents, teachers, and administrators that interact daily with our children. Number one, while standards have been set, the way to measure the success of the students' learning, the assessments, have not yet been created. Wasatch County School District has already spent tens of thousands of dollars paying dedicated teachers to build our curriculum. But since the assessments have not yet been completed, there's no way to know for sure how well our curriculum will align with the assessments. What if our students perform poorly on the assessments, and this creates a continual need for different and new curriculum to align with these federal assessments? Is this really local control? From my experience as a teacher, if my students aren't performing well on assessments, I must realign my curriculum to better match the assessments. But we've been told that teachers will not have access to the assessment questions. Teachers will only have access to the scores and will see a spectrum of data. We question how beneficial this limited information will really be to them in realigning their curriculum. To me, it seems obvious that we are paving the way to a nationalized curriculum. My good friend, who lives in Alpine School District, was actually told by her principal that he believes that since the whole country will now be purchasing the same textbooks, it will lower the cost. And that is one of the bonuses of adopting Common Core. Is this really what we want for our nation or our state? This is a clear example of how not only are our standards, but also our curriculum being dictated by these nationally set standards. If we study history, we need to always question and know the motives of individuals or groups that have a vested interest in the education of our children. We need to be clear that what we believe is best for our children aligns with what they may believe is best. Aristotle said, "All who have meditated on the art of governing mankind have been convinced that the fate of empires depends on the education of youth." Hitler declared, "In my great educative work, I am beginning with the young." We need to ask ourselves if our educational system in America could be used for similar purposes. Ezra Taft Benson, the former U.S. Secretary of Agriculture, said, quote, "Once that system is consolidated into one central source of authority, finance, and direction, it is entirely possible. Should the educational system ever fall into the hands of the in-power political faction or into the hands of an obscure but tightly knit group of professional social reformers, it could be used not to educate but to indoctrinate. We do not want to begin down a pathway that would prohibit decisions from being made by decentralized local units. There's a clear money trail behind nationalizing our education in America, but we should follow it." Our third concern is, do we have any idea of the projected cost of implementing these new standards? The Utah State Superintendent initially asked the legislators for $20 million to simply get the assessment program started. The local school districts will be required to match and possibly provide additional funds using their own district budgets. The projected costs are still unknown. Does anyone really have any idea how much all the associated implementation costs will be for cash-strapped states and districts like ours? Will this federal state-mandated core make us continually more dependent upon federal funds and therefore allow the federal government to gain more control of our children's education? Our fourth concern is the creation of a national database with information on each of our children. The CCSSO, the Chief Council of State School Officers, is one of the groups behind the creation of Common Core Standards. In their reauthorization document, one of their recommendations is to, quote, "ensure links across early childhood, K-12, higher education, and workforce data systems. Their 10th recommendation states that all data collections must be managed at a single, comprehensive reporting office in the Education Department. We ask you tonight, as our school board, to not change any FERPA laws that protect our children's information. On February 21st, 2012, Davis County School Board has already passed by a 6-1 vote to change their local FERPA laws to allow the federal government and other organizations to have their students' personally identifiable information from education records without prior consent. We do not want our children's information given to anyone without parental consent. Our fifth concern is, are we really meeting the needs of the upper and lower students? As a teacher, I've experienced the vast range of students' ability in one's classroom, and now we are not only having common standards within our state, but also throughout the majority of our nation. Is this really allowing educators, administrators, and parents to individually meet the needs of their child? Or are we settling with just being common in order to create equality? I believe that by allowing people to fail, we allow people to succeed. What if Common Core really is a federal program that is being sold as a state-led initiative? Raising our standards is a good thing, but we have to ask ourselves, at what cost are we adopting these new standards? Do the benefits really outweigh the unknown risks? U.S. Representative Glenn Thompson from Georgia said it well in a hearing on Common Core standards on December 8, 2009. Quote, "The goal of the initiative is to provide a voluntary, research and evidence-based set of standards for mathematics and English language arts." He continues, "I want to emphasize the word voluntary in that description. I don't believe that anyone involved in the initiative intended it for it to become the one and only set of academic standards in the United States." He continues, "Secretary Duncan has not been shy about his intentions to dramatically reshape education through the Race to the Top Fund." He says, "In other words, the Common Core is being transformed from a voluntary, state-based initiative to a set of federal academic standards with corresponding federal tests," end of quote. My hope tonight is that it is as clear to you as it is to me that this is a huge intrusion of the federal government into our schools, and I believe we must take a stand. At the very least, I hope I've given you reason to reconsider rubber stamping this.
What we're wondering is why we are very capable. Look at these great men that spent their summer dedicating to preparing curriculum for these students to raise their standards and to achieve higher. So why can't we do that without the federal government involved? That's what I would like to know, you know? And okay, so what I would like to encourage everybody here to do, because the state is telling us one thing and there is so much evidence saying something else. Please, this is not just about the standards. We signed on through the Race to the Top, through the Smarter Balance Assessment Consortium. Look through the governing documents. Look through the contract. See what we signed on for, and then go ask them questions. Because what the State Department of Education is telling us is something completely different from the research that I have had no sleep. I mean, no sleep lately. I have been working hours and hours and hours of this, and it's very frustrating to discover things and then have people come and try to tell you it's not true. So unless you've done the research yourself, I would suggest you do, and I'd be happy to help anyone, because what we have here is excellent. The standards, raising our standards, is excellent. I love it. I applaud the effort. I applaud the dedication the teachers have to meet these things. But let's do it without the federal ties, because they'll have control soon and we won't. Go ahead.
Oh, wait. Sorry, meeting. So sorry.
Now, there's the evidence right there. It's not just me talking here on a broadcast and telling you what I think is. My opinion's worthless. I look for evidence. I don't believe in opinions. I believe in evidence. If you have an opinion, it's based on three or more pieces of truth, evidence. Then you have your opinion, if you want to, as a result of putting together five or six facts. Okay, finally. You got an opinion. Okay, well, that's a state opinion. But based on these facts, okay, that's okay then. Then you let the facts be known so other people can have their own opinion based on facts, not feelings. Not putting your head in the sand and hope it just goes away. Now, if those parents right there knew what we're talking about today, they'd have an idea about how to go about it. If everyone were to get together in every state and pull these things off, But you would have to understand that within these meetings, like here, you're going to have Freemasons there that's going to slow things down. That's the reality. Eastern Stars, Freemasons that are infiltrated inside these organizations, will come up with contentious points and say, well, now, hold on a minute, or they'll circumvent and cause the mayor or the commissioner or whatever to delay something. That's how it really works. So then you subjugate it by finding out, okay, we need to know who in here is a Freemason. Can you raise your hand or are you afraid to? And you'll know that is your enemy. I'm sorry, but that's the truth. And for their own good, you identify it. But then they do good jobs, right? They give to the hospitals and they do good deeds and all that. That's to hide the nefarious agenda they have that you don't know about. They even have bake sales. Whoopie-doo. Great barbecues. But that's to hide the nefarious agenda as they infiltrate into council committees, commissioners' meetings, tea parties, etc. That's how it really works. And then what they do is slow down the progress while appearing to be on your side. It's called the fifth column strategy of infiltration. You have a lot of judges that are Freemasons. And actually, I know some in Winder, Georgia, that are actually warlocks into witchcraft are sitting on the bench. They work with the local government, police departments, etc. This is how it really works. So, parents, while you're watching Dancing with the Stars or working a hard day's work and you're commuting or you're tired and you get home, do you ever have time to ask your children, hey, little Johnny, have you seen any films in school about the lottery or Future Shock or the river or about sex, any of this stuff? Have they shown you a film about that? Or number two, have you kept a journal or diary, creative writing in English? Do you do that, little Johnny? Tell me about it. What do you got in there? What did they tell you to write? Or have you written your obituary yet? That was a big thing going on in the 1980s, to write your obituary. It's all part of the Humanist Manifesto that the teachers were told to do. Or you ask little Johnny, have you had any classes dealing with transcendental meditation or witchcraft? Besides Harry Potter, which some churches stupidly use Harry Potter as examples in their Bible studies. Family, that's dumb. That's absolutely the epitome of dumbness. You know what? I had a little saying not long ago. I mean, using Harry Potter books in church and Christian yoga is about the dumbest thing that anybody ever thought of in their lifetime. It's stupid. I'm sorry if that's kind of crass of me talking about it. I'm not politically correct. I'm just telling you like it is, make a point. I mean, makeup can hide ugly. But being stupid like that sticks out like a sore thumb. Family, why aren't the parents saying, you taught my kid in Bible study? Harry Potter? Man, have that teacher removed. Or you approach that teacher and say, what are you doing? And you show her where this woman that wrote Harry Potter is a witchcraft. She's a witch. She's a doggone witch. Literally. I don't mean it in a derogatory manner. I mean she's a bona fide, guaranteed, 100% witch. What they do is unbelievable in their ceremonies. And they come out with children's books. You got to be kidding me. Yeah, parents, wake up. Come on now. I mean, for goodness sakes alive. Oh, it's frustrating. I wonder sometimes if I make a dent, you know. I just sometimes really do. It just when I and I sometimes it don't hit me till I have the broadcast, and sometimes when I'm talking about it and I get into the broadcast, I learn stuff as I'm talking. You know, it's just the way it is. I'm honest about what, you know, and I'll do, oh. And while I'm talking, I just realized something, or I have an epiphany or something like that, even while I've got a broadcast. And then it opens up my mind while I'm talking on the air. And that's just how it works. And what they do in these witchcraft ceremonies, which is directly parallel to Freemasons' initiations, without the drinking of blood, but they go through the blood oath anyway, family. Freemasons and witchcraft have exactly parallel initiations. When they talk about riding the goat, family, it gets way out there what they do. They got to get out. You got to get your husband out of there. He got to leave the Freemasonry. Renounce the blood oath and get out of there now. Stop messing around. Get out of there. Ask them, how often do you role play? What characters do you take on when you do the role play at school? You ask them, how often do you discuss your family life in school? Do they ask you any questions? You know, if they do, can it, let me know. Can you give me a text? And when they do, guess what? Oh, you got you a bite, and your kid texts you, Mom, you know what they're doing today? As they're texting, they're talking about witchcraft today, or they have me write my obituary today. You know what you're probably going to do? You're probably going to get up and leave work, or you're probably going to leave the house to go pick your kid up or go to the street. Well, guess what? You're in private property. That's what the police are there for. Sandy Hook was a false flag. Sandy Hook was justified by dialectic to put security in schools they know are going to be threatened when the parents come to take the kids out of school. That's what they're there for, to protect the school from the parents. Ask them if they've ever been in a magic circle. Or have you discussed alternative lifestyles and in a positive way? Have you discussed abortion? You're going to get some hits here, family. And what are you going to do about it? Ask them, how much of the school today was spent on the basics? What textbooks did you use today? Well, Mom, we didn't use any history books. They just gave a handout, and then the history books were, I don't know why, but Mommy, those textbooks, little Johnny, you know, he said, well, them there textbooks right down yonder on the back of the room. They don't use them anymore. That's true, by the way. Ask them, do you stand and recite the Pledge of Allegiance daily? Well, I got my little thing about that, the Pledge of Allegiance to the corporation, but that's another story. About the Pledge of Allegiance, that's another little bone I got to pick. But how often do you ask about your feelings? Do they ask you about your feelings? They want that 5 minute with your child alone. You can't touch them. You can't even come in and listen. They're starting to do that in some of the schools, you know. Ask them, have they discussed a one world government? They've got chapters in books today in high school talking about a one world government in the textbooks. Ask them if they've read books like The Learning Tree or Pig Man or Forever or A Day No Pigs Would Die. We used to read Pig Farm or something like that back in the day. Death family, that's what it's all about. I had no idea. Ask them if they've been asked, do you think our government should control industry? You'd be like a 10th grader, 11th grader or something, civics class. They still teach civics? I don't know. Ask them, Does the government owe you a job? Ask your children. Has Planned Parenthood come in to speak to your class? Huh? Ask them if they're taking a field trip to a clinic. Ask them, do your teachers ask you to make decisions about what's right and wrong? A little humanism going on here. Have you had your teacher read you your rights as part of a class? Ask them, have they ever been asked to determine ways to control the population? Ho-ho. Have you ever played Dungeons and Dragons in school for creative writing, a creative course in thinking or something? Or anything like that? Have you discussed personal things with your teachers, counselors? Been told not to tell your parents. Did they ever do that? Tell me then. I'm your parent. They're not. Did they do that? Have they said because, don't tell them because they won't understand? Ask your kid that. Find out. Ask them how often you see a counselor. Ask them if they played survival games. Hunger Games, ever heard of that on the movies? Or like Bomb Shelter, or Doom City, Dome City, or Lifeboat. Ask them if they ever played Alligator River. Family, stay ahead of them. And then when they have, you call up your other friends and say, we need to have a school board meeting. And then you cook them like a goose. It's your kids, man. It's your kids. All I got's a cat. And I got a couple kids, but they're old. They're older. Older, older. Oh, well, sort of older. Whatever. Anyway. That high school is where they got them. 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, 9 months out of the year. Now, if they go to church at all, it's 1 hour a week, 4 hours a month. Now, do the math on that, y'all. And you tell me who's going to have the most say-so. Family, y'all better wake up. You really, really do. You got to wake up. Take control. Work together. And if we're fighting each other by black to white, veteran to veteran, you're going to miss out. Because that's what they count on you to do. Because you're fighting each other. They know that. Now tomorrow, I'm going to cover some of this. I'm going to continue on. And we'll get closer into the education part, more detail tomorrow. Today was laying the groundwork. And I think I did that. You know, a humanist by the name of Charles Francis Potter said, and I quote, 1930, education is thus the most powerful ally of humanism. And every American school is a school of humanism. What can a theistic Sunday schools meeting for an hour once a week and teaching only a fraction of the children do to stem the tide of the five-day program of humanistic teaching? Unquote. Charles Francis Potter, Humanism, A New Religion, by Simon & Schuster, 1930. Tomorrow, excruciating details. Today was laying the groundwork with evidence and testimony. I want to remind y'all, played, I better finish the sentence. My radio broadcast and Bible studies, 8 to 9, night every night, Monday through Friday, and broadcast 4 to 6 p.m., Monday through Friday, every day. Randomly played at highpointradio.net by John Kirkler, H-E-R-K-A-L-E-R. And he does it for me, just plays them. And he has the sponsors up there. He's growing up there, New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. So if you live up in those areas, Look up his website, highpointradio.net, highpointradio.net. Find out his sponsors. If you live in that area, use his sponsors. And give him a hand up there. My website is watchmanforjesus.com. And my Facebook is Watchman for Jesus. And I put a different quality to my mimes. Those, you know, posters and whatever. So, it'll help people a little better, I hope. Tomorrow, tonight, Bible study, 8 to 9, end times events we're talking about all this week. And tomorrow, 4 to 6, details on the education system and how they control your children. We're going for it tomorrow night, tomorrow afternoon. Today was laying the groundwork. And to show you that there is, in fact, a conspiracy. And then toward the afternoon, I did cover some details. Tomorrow, major details. Exactly how they're doing it. And if you know how they're doing it, then maybe you all can do something about it to slow it down. To thwart their efforts even more and frustrate them even more. Until Jesus says, that's enough. I'm coming. And there's not a darn thing they can do about it. When he says enough is enough, there's nothing the Freemasons can do. There's nothing the Joint Chief of Staff can do. There's nothing the Illuminati can do to stop the Lord Jesus Christ from coming back and taking what is his. Right now, it's determining who's the wheat and the tares. Those to follow Jesus and those not. That's what's being used for. That's what's going on. Whether you like it or not, or believe it or not, that's the reality. Climb above the trees. Look at the canopy. Because the Son is coming. And that's the S-O-N, family. The only begotten of the Father. His name's Jesus Christ. He's coming. Y'all have a good night. God bless all of you. This is your watchman, Tom Gamble. I'm signing off. See y'all tonight, 8 to 9, or tomorrow, 4 to 6. Hit the ground running both times. Good night. God bless.
And every fear I'd ever had just melted into peace.
I am with you every day to the end.